Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host today, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Monday, November 27th, 2023. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Me too. I think I finally digested a meal I ate Thursday. My gosh, how we had a meal.
What did you say died?
Digested the meal I had Thursday.
Oh.
I mean, you know, and things, I try to watch what I eat very carefully, but it is not a good time of year to try to be on a diet. And I'm going to tell you what, my sister-in-law and the whole family got together and made a whole bunch of different things. It was such a good meal. It's unbelievable. I'm very, very awesome. Blessed. Very blessed.
Awesome. Awesome. And me too. It was a great Thanksgiving. And the only thing almost every year, sometime during the year, I'll cook a turkey because I go someplace, I go to my family's for Thanksgiving, but there's never any leftovers to bring home. So it's, and I do like a leftover turkey sandwich.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to have to make my own turkey and keep it all to myself.
Not even share with Ruby?
Well, maybe her a little.
That's her puppy, by the way, folks, in case you don't know.
Yes, yes. Thank you for clarifying that. Well, let's go ahead and get to the gold prices today. Another good day in gold, up $10.50. We're at 2014. Silver was up 30 cents, but we're way over $24, 24.73. So we're moving on. We almost hit 25 today. Platinum was down $13 at 928, and palladium was up $4 at 1,098. A little pressure on the dollar. $103 down 22. Crude oil was down 55 cents at 74.99. Paper markets today. The Dow was lower by 56 points, 35,333. The S&P was down 9, 4,550. NASDAQ was down 9, 14,241. All the European markets were down, you know, just by 20-some points, so no big deal. Asian markets, they were all down again, all under 1%. just barely moving. 10-year yield, that did that's moving lower as 4.38, as we're seeing the dollar weaken also. And my natural gas is down 2.33% at 2.788. So, a lot of perhaps guesses as far as where the markets are going. They're also saying that the S&P is going to reach 5,100 next year. Fueled by bumper corporate profits. So that's a little interesting. And you got billionaire Ken Langone. He's going to meet with Nikki Haley in New York next week. So that's a big deal if she gets his backing. There'll be a lot of money there, a lot of money going into her campaign. And so we'll just have to see what else is going to bring for the new year. And I thought, I'm not sure if you have this to talk about, say goodbye to the middle class.
Nope, I don't have that one.
Half of all American workers made less than $41,000.
Wow.
Half.
Wow.
The Social Security Administration just released national wage statistics for 2022, and the figures that they have given us do not paint a very pretty picture at all. So the actual number is 40,847. That breaks down to about $3,400 a month, and that is before taxes. So, you know, in today's world, you cannot live a middle-class lifestyle in America on a $3,400 a month before taxes. So it's a pretty bleak picture. And, you know, Butch, this morning I was watching the news, and they were interviewing this woman who, I guess her video or blog or her whatever, instant talk, whatever it was, went viral. And she's boo-hooing because her money, they're broke. And I kind of chuckled at it because I thought, lady, after what you're complaining about, you're really blessed. She was saying that her dollar, her money doesn't go as far as it used to. I get that. But she says, yo, boo-hoo, we were just paid on Friday. We paid the mortgage. We bought groceries. We did this, and all we have is $200 to $300 left over until next week. Lady, you paid your mortgage, you've got food, you've got gas, you got heat, and you still got $200, and you get paid on Friday. I didn't think that was too bad of a deal. Most people can't do that. They can't make their mortgage payment with one paycheck. It takes two or three.
That's very true.
So it's all relative, I get. But what dawned on me, Butch, is people don't, just like our government, people don't know how to cut back. They don't want to go without. So if things were good and they were able to eat out two or three times a week and, you know, were able to take that cruise or vacation and so forth, and now they're having a little bit, they can't, that's what they're whining about.
Well, Millie, most people spend up to what they make. They don't think ahead for next week, next month, or 10 years.
Very true.
They spend up to what they make, and you have been preaching on the radio, so to speak, for years, and I have too. Pay off your house, get out of debt, be content with spending less money, and try to plan for the future. Anything can happen. I'm not saying that you don't have a good time and don't go on vacation, something to vacation. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, just be wise enough to not always be on the edge of losing everything. It's not worth the stress.
No, it isn't. So, but again, my point is Americans don't know how to live. I mean, in the past, they've been, you know, whether it's the stores, the corporations, banks, government, whatever, they led that carrot in front of people thinking they can live a lifestyle that really doesn't fit their budgets because they've had the credit cards. They had zero rate interest on so many things or very next to low interest rate when they're out there buying cars and this and that. Now it's different. Can people go back to a lower standard of living? Because that's what it is.
You said it. We've gotten too used to living on credit cards. I mean, instant gratification. You know, that's one of the worst things that's ever invented was a credit card.
Yes.
I've always tried to live by the idea of, if possible, if I can't afford to pay for it, don't buy it. I mean, if I can't afford to pay for a cash for something, then don't buy it. Or at least pay a big chunk of it down before you buy it. Because if you can't afford it now, how are you going to afford it next month?
Exactly. So, you know what I mean? And it's another sign of how our standard of living has declined.
Oh,
is
yes.
declining and is going to continue to decline. So what people once thought was a good paycheck and they lived fine on, now it doesn't go anywhere. But they don't understand the real reason. They don't understand the real reason. So, anyway, I thought that was interesting. And again, credit cards usage. If you look at the numbers for Black Friday over this weekend, it was all credit cards.
Yeah, and I got some comments on that also about that. But, I listened to you and Bob Chapman and others years ago, and I wanted to get out of debt. I wanted to pay the house off. I didn't want to be in debt for new cars. And my cars are not new. Thank goodness they run okay. But if I had to buy one now, I really couldn't afford $1,000 another payment. No way. So I'm thankful that I listened to wise counsel many years ago, Melody. Put back a little bit of precious metals. I mean, weren't by no means wealthy, but I owe no man nothing. I'm not behind anything. I manage to pay the bills. So I just know that I listened to people like you and other folks who told me these things, the hard times are coming. They didn't get here within a year, or 2 or 3 years. It took several years, but now they're here. And I'm so glad that by the grace of God, I pay attention. And I get out of bed in the morning in a house that's warm and it's cozy and it's paid for. That's a big thing.
Yes. And actually, those numbers came from the guy that you like, Michael, from the economic
Snyder.
Collapse.
Yeah.
So, and again, this is just another sign that it is coming to an end. The debt bubble credit economy is coming to an end. It's that simple. And
It truly is. Going along those lines, if you don't mind, I want to share it very quickly. This according to this article, Americans smashed Thanksgiving spending record. Now, I want to read this and then make a comment or two. Americans set a new record for Thanksgiving online shopping, signaling robust economic activity despite inflation concerns. According to new data from Adobe Analytics, Adobe Analytics reported $5.6 billion in online sales during the Thanksgiving holiday on Thursday, marking a 5.5% increase from last year. The figure shatters previous records and represents a near doubling of the $2.87 billion spent in 2017. Mobile sales took the lion's share, according to $3.3 billion, or 59% of total online sales. Meanwhile, Salesforce's data for money spent during Thanksgiving showed a similar upward trend, with U.S. online sales reaching roughly $7.5 billion, a modest 1% year-over-year growth. Now, I can make a comment here that I'm going to share some increases in some different items over the last year, inflation-wise. But no matter which one of these is right, one says 1% modest increase, Salesforce says that, and the other one says a 5% increase. Well, inflation was 8 or 9%, Melody. Of course they spent more, but they actually spent less.
That
makes sense?
It does.
I mean, does anyone ever consider that the reason the sales are up because everything costs more? Does anybody ever think about that at all?
No, it's all due to Bidenomics, Butch. Don't you know that?
Well,
I'm kidding,
insane.
Of course.
It's insane. I know you are. It's insane. It's insane. I mean, this is from a visual capitalist, an author named Avery Koop. U.S. inflation, how much of price increase? Now, this is from 2022 up to now, certain items adjusted. Food at elementary schools and secondary schools, Melody, went up 254%. Food costs in schools. Food employee sites in schools, 110%. Fuel went up 65%. Eggs, 49%. Margarine, 47%. Other motor fuels, 43%. Fuel and other fuels, 41%. Airline fares, 36%. Butter and margarine, 34%. Just over increase overall on everything added together. So, yeah, they spent more because it costs more. This is not rocket science. This is really simple mathematics. So everybody gets all excited. Oh, everything, but no, everything's not booming. Now, the news says that, and everybody, I guess, accepts that. But real people out here in this real world know better than that. They spent more, but they got less. That makes sense to you now?
Well, of course.
I don't understand what? How people can be that gullible that they even begin to consider that as good news. I really don't.
Well, it's just how the media portrays it. If you got, you got your financial planner and everybody else that are invested in paper markets, that's what they're going to project. That's what they're going to pitch. That's what they're going to tell the consumer, and the consumer go along with it and just think they're different. So,
well, I would think that it'd be a lot of people who would. A lot of people, if you just stop and think at all, would realize that this is a hoax, it's a cover-up, it's a sham, and it should make them angry that they think we're that stupid that we believe such lies. Do you agree with that?
No, I agree.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. Now, go ahead. I'll shut up. I didn't mean to get ahead of you. Go ahead.
No, but that's how everything is portrayed. So, yeah, that's why people are confused out there. That's why they can't make sense of anything, because they in their pocketbooks they're hurting. But what they see and what they're being told, it conflicts. So one day they'll wake up, but it'll be too late. It'll be too late and say, "Gee, I wished I would have done this," or "Gee, I wished I could have done that," and "Gee, I wished I," you know. Quarter of Americans still have holiday debt from 2022.
Wow.
And this is the one I think is the most interesting. Mortgage delinquencies in America rose in the third quarter of 2023 from $11.7 trillion to $11.8 trillion, representing a 3% year-over-year increase. And again, along with the overall rising consumer debt, delinquencies on those loans are also climbing. This is a detailed TransUnion third quarter study on personal debt in America. This was put out by, I don't know who this person is, DS News. But this was a report by the TransUnion. So, again, we have mortgage originations. We're down 30% annually. That's huge.
It is huge. Yes, it is.
Purchases. And purchases made up 87% of the volume in the second quarter, and that was down 28%. Refinancing, that was down 64%. I mean, these numbers are huge. And yes, the rates have a lot to do with it. But you got to remember, delinquencies, just because the rate's going down isn't going to affect that. Because people don't have the money to pay their mortgages because everything else is costing so much more. So again, the housing market, although they say has been in a recession for how long, they don't include the recession in any other part of the economy, just the property. It's big because you don't see the new furniture, appliances. You don't see a lot of these other things that people buy when they buy new homes or move into even a it doesn't have to be a new home, just when they go into a different home. So, and it always, on all of these percentages to the downside, represents a multiplier too. So, when will people actually take note, Butch?
I don't know, Melody. I have no idea. But next article we're going to share after the break, they're going to know some things pretty soon when it comes to banking. because we've lost somewhere over 2,000 banks in this country, branch banks, in the last little while. You're going to start seeing that affect all of us sooner or later.
All righty. Well, I do hear the music, so we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. We're still running out, folks. Gold is over $2,000. Silver is almost $25 an ounce. And I have a few more of those packages priced at $800. So what? Silver's up, what, almost $2 since I quoted that? Buck and a half? You have gold up, what, $30, $40, $50 since I quoted that package? So you can't get a better deal anywhere. And it's a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle 2023, 20 Silver Eagles 2023. It includes your shipping costs, $800. So this is the last day that I'm going to be running that. And, of course, this program is replayed tomorrow, the next day on Tuesday. It's Monday broadcast on Tuesday. So I will honor those also. So I'll say Wednesday will be the last day for this special. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. And even though I would extend it to Wednesday, we don't have a lot of these packages left. So I do want to make that clear. I'm not guaranteeing that if you call Tuesday, you're going to get it. If we're out of the packages, we're out of the packages. So once they're gone, they're gone. So is that clear, Butch?
Yeah, it's clear enough to me.
Okay.
I think I got it. You spoke it in plain English. I think I got it.
And I really don't know how many packages we have left. Maybe 10, something like that. So there's not very many. So, okay.
Okay. Yeah, this next article, thank you, something that maybe no one knows to yet, but you will eventually. 64 U.S. bank branches filed to shut down in a single week. Big banks such as PNC Bank and J.P. Morgan Chase have filed to close several branch offices in multiple states amid a troubling pattern of rising branch shutdowns in recent years. Between November 12th and 18th, several banks filed to close branches locations, with PNC Bank with the most filings, according to data from the U.S. Office of Comptroller of the Currency. Pittsburgh-based PNC Bank filed for 19 branch closures, 5 in Pennsylvania, 4 in Illinois, 3 in Texas, 2 in Alabama, 2 each in Alabama and New Jersey, and 1 each in Indiana, Ohio, and Florida. J.P. Morgan Chase followed closely with 18 filings, 3 in Ohio, 2 each in Connecticut and South Carolina, and 1 in and 1 each in 11 states, including New York, Illinois, Florida, and Massachusetts. Citizens Bank came in third with 8 branch closures filings, 6 in New York and 1 in each Massachusetts and Delaware. Minneapolis-based U.S. Bank filed for 7 closures, 3 in Tennessee, and 1 each in Missouri, Missouri, Wisconsin, Ohio, and Illinois. Bank of America made 5 filings, 2 in New York and 1 each in Texas, Massachusetts, and California. Citibank filed for 2 branch closures, and Sterling Bremer First National Bank of Hughes Springs, Windsor, FSNLA, and Arstock took FSLA made in one filing each. Altogether, 64 branches closed down. The recent closures are part of a long-term branch shutdown trend that has been ongoing over the past several years. A report from the National Community Reinvestment Coalition showed that between 2017 and 2021, 9% of all bank branches shut down. The closure rate doubled during the COVID-19 vaccine. According to data from S&P, there were 3,012 branch closures last year and 958 branch openings, leading to a new net closure of 2,054 branches. This was the third consecutive year that the net closings exceeded 2,000. So over 6,000, close to 7,000 branches have shut down in the last 3 years. That's a lot of little banks shutting down, a lot of branches shutting down, Bill. That's a lot of them, a bunch of them.
That's quite a few.
I haven't seen that here, but that's a lot. That's huge. That's like 40 per state. So
yeah, it's a lot. And again, there's always the multiplier effect, too.
So I don't know if you all, have you noticed that up your way? Has that happened that you've seen?
No, I haven't seen that in this area, but this is a small rural area too. So you know, these are a lot of local banks. There's not a whole lot of PNCs and Bank of Americas. I mean, that's up more in northern Maryland, in Annapolis and Baltimore and so forth. So, but where we're at, it's all local banks.
Well, I would say it's going to funnel down the smaller banks eventually. It's hitting all the big ones. I don't know exactly how it's working, but it's. I didn't think it'd be over that many closing down over the last 3 years. That's huge.
That's a lot.
It is.
Well,
a
one
lot.
Thing about the smaller local banks is they don't get tied up in the derivatives and all those investment promises and so forth, like your larger banks. I mean, it's the larger banks that destroy everything, and then they're the ones that get bailed out. But yeah, it will trickle down. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's coming. And Americans face mounting food insecurity amid rising inflation and soaring prices. Well, yeah. Food banks have found themselves amid a rock and a hard place as donations are plummeting and amid surging demand. Axios reports, citing data from consumer surveys and analysts on food insecurity and grocery shopping behavior. Divert Incorporated, an impact technology company, has found that inflation and mounting grocery prices are preventing Americans from making donations during this holiday season. Typically, holidays are the time when Americans' consumers are more likely to assist those in need. Only 25% of respondents said they were more likely to donate during this year's holiday season compared to years past. Those who are donating less to food banks this season cite increasing food and grocery costs as the number one reason driving their decision. A tech company also revealed that the current economic climate in the U.S. prompted 72% of Americans to change their grocery shopping habits. 51% of respondents said that grocery prices are forcing them to cut costs in other areas. What's more, 25% of consumers expressed anxiety about their ability to afford food in the next three to six months. 36% said that they are now buying less fresh food like produce as prices bite. According to Divert, 85% of respondents believe that food insecurity countrywide has surged since COVID-19 pandemic. Furthermore, 63% suggests that the U.S. is far more food insecure than the latest U.S. Department of Agriculture data indicates. So people are noticing it, and it's starting to hurt. Food banks are suffering. People are cutting back on groceries to pay other bills. That, I don't care how you look at it. That's hard. That's huge. To cut back on your grocery bills because you got to pay power bills or whatever. That is huge, Melody. I never had a lot of money, but I've always had plenty to eat. It may just been beans and cornbread, but I love beans and cornbread, so I'm not complaining. But people are starting to have to cut back on so many different things just to put food on the table. Now, if they're cutting back on movies, that's one thing, or eating out, that's one thing. But cutting back on other things they call necessities just to eat, that's not a good thing, is it?
Well, no, and if I remember correct, I mean, usually when people would have a hard time buying food, like beef prices went up, it really would only affect portion. I mean, you could always go to chicken or pork. If pork prices went up, you could go to chicken. If chicken prices went up, you could. But that's not the case anymore. It's all expensive. It's all going up, and that's the problem. There's no options. I mean, you could go to, you know, pasta. Well, pasta and everything that you have to go with pot is going up. So there is really, what sector of food can people go to that hasn't gone up significantly? There isn't anything. Even rice is expensive.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, compared to what it used to be. Potatoes.
Yes.
I mean, you could always cook up a potato dish. Bacon used to be inexpensive. Not anymore. So there's not a lot of alternative, you know. And for some, maybe it doesn't make a difference. But if you're really scrapping, people don't have a place to go to. And
That's very true. Very true. And like you mentioned bacon, or not bacon, but potatoes and rice. They always called those filler dishes. You know, you had those on the table as bulk, and you put something with them and eat them. They're filler dishes, and people all the world have used that for that reason.
That's true.
So it's really bad. It is. And New York housing residents miss out on Thanksgiving dinners after illegal aliens get them all.
Say what?
My goodness. I mean, that's residents of the New York City Housing Authority were shocked early this week when illegal aliens who got in line before they did for free Thanksgiving dinners given away by local food banks left many low-income citizens without a holiday meal this year. The illegals are taking over the country, literally taking over the country, and we're paying the bill. Reports say that residents of the NYCHA were told when to line up for their turkey dinner and fixing delivery, but when they arrived at the appointed time, they found hundreds of illegals already at the head of the line, according to the WNYWTV. Queensbridge housing resident Georgia Butler, for one, was disgusted after losing out to illegals at this year's food bank giveaway and noted the illegals were first in line. They were the first in line for the turkeys this morning, Butler told the station. They tell you to be here at 11 o'clock. You get there like 10:30, 10:45, but they're already out there. The line is from over there to over here. Why do we have to take the brunt of everything, Butler asked Fox 5. This community is already suffering. Many low-income residents rely on the weekly mobile food banks, but they're increasingly finding slim pickings after the illegals run through the offerings. Well, we tolerate it. Now we're paying for it. I don't have to put that. We tolerate it. We pay for it. And you can say what you want. You can hold your elected officials accountable. If enough people would do it, we turn this thing around. But it's not going to happen. But they lined up for their turkey Thanksgiving meals, and they're too late. The illegals got there before they did, and they come all the way from Venezuela. But anyway, I mean, that's a sad story.
Well, I don't know what's I don't know what's sadder, you know. I mean, here you have people coming from, I mean, there was a reason why we had Thanksgiving. And now people who understand the reason behind Thanksgiving can't get fed. And people who don't understand it, that don't appreciate what freedom is, because, you know, well, maybe they might appreciate it a little bit more than the citizens do anymore. But I don't know. It's just messed up.
It is messed up. Very messed up. Yeah, we have forgotten really what Thanksgiving is all about. We truly have.
Yeah, we have.
We truly, truly have. And when it started and why it started, we truly have forgot that. Maybe it's one of the reasons why we're losing it. We took it for granted for so long. I don't know. Residents in blue states pay much more for electricity than in red states. This makes sense. I hadn't really thought about it, but it makes sense. Blue states residents, whose governments have adopted aggressive climate policies, are paying much more for electricity and fuel than their counterparts who live in red states that lack such policies, according to a new report from America's largest membership organization of state legislatures. The report from the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, provides a breakdown of energy prices throughout the United States while demonstrating the relationship between big government and policies and the high energy costs. While some states rely on free market principles and innovation to limit man-made emissions into the atmosphere, others use a more heavy-handed approach by implementing of standards, enacting mandates and pricing schemes that benefit specific types of technologies. Whether it is mandates, subsidies, or some combination of both, when the government inserts itself in the energy market, taxpayers wind up footing the bill. If government inserts its place in anything, folks, we end up paying the bill. The trend of government mandates being linked to higher electricity prices is evident throughout the report. For instance, simply being part of the Renewable Portfolio Standard, or RPS, which dictates a certain amount of states' electricity generation must come from renewable sources, boosts up electricity costs in participating state by about 11%. Anytime government gets involved in anything, and somebody tell me what they're not involved in today. I mean, in anything. That's why hospital costs are so high. That's why everything's so high, because government gets involved. On top of taxing people to death and corporations who don't pay taxes, we pay them for them. If the corporate taxes were dropped, we might see the cost our cost drop perhaps, because the corporations do not pay taxes. The consumer pays the tax. But if we get the government out of everybody's pocket, off everybody's back, we would see less expense. Because somebody's going to make up the difference between what the government says it's got to have and what the businesses are going to pay. And believe me, folks, businesses are not going to pay it. You and I are. Melody?
Businesses never paid it. You know, they never trickle down. I don't care what people do. I don't care how many government programs. You're right. You got to get them out. You know, and quit giving all these multinational corporations all these subsidies and everything else. The welfare, corporate welfare. Stop it. What does that hurt if you stop welfare to the corporations? It would only make it better for the people, because the corporations would have to become more competitive. They'd have to lower their prices.
Well, the idea of free enterprise was make a better gadget for less money, was it not?
Well, it was. So, yeah, get government out, stop the welfare. But anyway,
well, that's where we are.
That's
today.
What I would do if I was president.
Oh boy, when you gonna run?
Well, you know, I'd never be able to beat Trump.
Well, you get my vote over him, but anyway.
Okay.
You get one out of West Virginia.
Do you mean you're not gonna vote for Manchin or Munchin or?
Manchin, I don't think
Munchin. I call him Munchin.
No, Manchin, I've met the guy. I said personally, he's a very amiable guy, but he is a politician. So they're most of them pretty amiable.
Yeah,
but
and
he is not.
He reminds me of a snake.
Well, you know, he's. I want to say the man you can't trust him. I'm not being picky, but he's a politician. Has been all his life.
Yep.
So you just can't walk up to him and take the word for anything. I wish you could. But you can't.
You can't.
You can't do it. And it's about to go to break here again, but I'll read the next article and just get started on. New Jersey is set to ban gas-powered cars by 2035. That's 12 years from now. Now, we'll get that story in a minute, because this, if this happens in one state, it can happen in other states. And it's going to mean you're going to spend more for less, folks. You're going to buy something that's not dependable and pay a lot more for it.
Don't they already do that in California? Don't they already have a date?
I don't know for sure. I don't want to say for sure.
I think they do. I hear the music, and that means we're heading into a break. We'll be right back in just a few short minutes.
Such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby, don't say baby. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up, I'm climbing in, so take it easy.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And it is Monday, November 27th, and trying to get back into the groove after Thanksgiving.
Yes, ma'am. We'll get back in the groove. The next thing will be another day off coming up. And then New Year's Day is coming up, and, they come out one time, it seems like.
I know.
And then we have a long stretch until, May?
Pretty much.
Yeah, really. But back to talk about New Jersey. On Tuesday, the state of New Jersey announced a plan to ban the sale of new gasoline-powered automobiles by 2035. Governor Phil Murphy, a Democrat, made the announcement along with the state's Department of Environmental Protection, Commissioner Sean LaTour. Murphy claims that the new state rule will help to alleviate so-called climate change. Oh, my. With the announcement, the Garden State joins a growing number of states that are putting the climate cart in front of the fossil fuel horse. California, Vermont, New York, Washington, Oregon, Massachusetts, Virginia, Rhode Island, Maryland, and Connecticut have created similar rules looking to ban efficient and reliable vehicles in favor of more expensive and less reliable electric vehicles. Restrictions on new gas-powered light-duty vehicles will begin in New Jersey in model year 2027 and ramp up to the complete ban on new vehicle sales by 2035. The new rule does not ban ownership of gas-powered vehicles, nor does it ban the sale of used cars that use fossil fuels. And I guess they're not fossil fuels. There's no such thing as fossil fuels. But nonetheless, they're going to start phasing them out in 2027, 3 years from now. They're going to start phasing out the sale of new gas-powered vehicles there. And right now, people are not buying electric cars. They're just not buying them. And so they're cutting back on manufacturing. If enough states do this, they'll have to start manufacturing again and force them on the people. I don't intend to go that way if I can help it at all, Melody. That's just absolutely absurd, is it not?
It truly is. It truly is. And all this climate change, I mean, here you have the, what is it with this climate change? I mean, they're just, you know, you have the Pope, he's sick, but he's going to go to a climate change meeting somewhere in the world. It's like, oh, Lord.
And more scientists are saying this is all a hoax. More and more scientists are saying it.
Yep.
But no one covers that part of it. Climate has always changed up and down. It's always done that. Back in the 70s, 60s, they were looking for an ice age.
You know, I have a neighbor, and her brother is, I don't know all of the credentials that he has behind him. The guy's brilliant. And, I mean, he's into the... he's into the earth, you know, the land management and, you know, all of the, I mean, the guy knows what he's talking about. Okay. And he said, absolutely. Climate change is a hoax. It's not real.
It's all about control. And that's a way to get it.
And he's not a conservative. He's not a, he's again, I don't like to put tags on people, but he's a liberal. So he's on the side of the other ones, the Democrats and in that group of people for everything else. But when it comes to the climate change, he said, absolutely not. So
good for him. Good for him. This next article, folks, I'll give you pause again about Trump. Now, I know people get mad at me when I talk about Trump, and I'm not being nasty. I'm sharing facts here. Okay, I'm sharing with you an article out of the Washington AP. That's in that real article concerning Trump and his plans if he's reelected. Now, he has a lot of ideas that he mentioned if he's reelected he'd like to do. He had a lot of them before he got elected the first time and didn't do hardly any of them. But anyway, Trump hints at expanded role for the military within the U.S. A legacy law gives him few guardrails. Let me just read this, folks, and pay attention to this. Campaigning in Iowa this year, Donald Trump said he was prevented during his presidency from using the military to quell violence in primarily Democratic cities and states. Calling New York City and Chicago's crime dens, the frontrunner for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination told his audience, "The next time, I'm not waiting. One of the things I did was let them run it, and we're going to show how bad a job they do," he said. "Well, we did that. We don't have to wait any longer." Trump has not spelled out precisely how he might use the military during his second term, although he and his advisors have just suggested they would have a wide latitude to call up units. While deploying the military regularly within the country's borders will be a departure from tradition, the former president already has signaled an aggressive agenda, if he wins, from mass deportations to travel bans imposed on certain Muslim-majority countries. Now, I have no problem with a protected border with the military. Go for it. God bless you. Protect our borders with the military. Yes, do that. But use them inside the country something else. Let's go a little further here. A law first crafted in the nation's infancy will give Trump, as commander-in-chief, almost unfettered power to do so, military and legal experts said in a series of interviews. The Insurrection Act allows presidents to call on reserve or active duty military units to respond to unrest in the states, an authority that is not reviewable by the courts. One of its few guardrails merely requires the president request that the participants disperse. The principal constraint on the president's use of the Insurrection Act is basically political. The presidents don't want to be the guy who sends tanks rolling down Main Street USA, said Joseph Nunn, a national security expert with the Brennan Center for Justice. There's not much really in the law to state the president's hand. A spokesman for Trump's campaign did not respond to multiple requests for comment about what authority Trump might use to pursue his plans. Congress passed the act in 1792, just 4 years after the Constitution was ratified. None said it is an amalgamation of different statutes enacted between then and the 1870s, a time when there was little in the way of local law enforcement. It's a law that in many ways was created for the country that doesn't exist anymore, he said. It also is one of the most substantial exceptions for the Posse Comitatus Act, which generally prohibits using military for law enforcement purposes. And by the way, the Posse Comitatus Act was done away with. I know people wouldn't hear that, but it was. Research it for yourself. They passed it away. So Trump wants to use the military for police forces. Well, I can understand his attitude. I understand his frustrations. But to use the military for a police force is in violation of everything, the principle of liberty and freedom in this country. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't increase police forces and reinstate lawful means of keeping the laws and making laws that need kept, like murder and stealing and shoplifting, all that that's being tolerated. I understand that, and riots and burning down people's homes. I understand that. But Melody, to bring in the military for this is kind of scary to me. What do you think about that?
I know, because where does it end?
Exactly.
Where does
it end?
Exactly. Because we know government, if one does it, then you have the next person coming in that takes advantage of it. So it's just going to grow. And again, enforce the laws. We don't even need new laws. Enforce the ones we have. That's
I think
the
what
problem.
he's saying here is that the liberals are what they say Democrats. I say both sides are dirty, but they're saying that Democrats don't enforce the laws; they let people go by with crimes. And I understand that I do, but you do things right and you can do things wrong. Also, this is a very dangerous precedent.
It truly
is. I didn't say president; I said precedent.
Right,
there's a difference. And yet, use them on the borders. For goodness sake, use them on the borders. That's what the military is here for. Especially what we call the National Guard, which, by the way, used to be called the State Guard. Of course, use it on the borders. But I have another thing when it comes to civilian law.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Amelia, you got me fired up again.
Well, you've got 8 minutes.
8 whole minutes left. Gee. That's
six.
Time to take a nap, ain't it?
6 minutes. There you go. Six.
Minutes. Okay.
I gave you a break. Six.
All right. Europe is getting record amounts of Russian gas through Turk Stream.
I know.
So who keeps trying to blow it up? You know, this. I mean, where are the sanctions? What could it do to sanction Russia? Folks, we didn't harm them at all. The Turk Stream pipeline, which brings natural gas from Russia to Turkey, across the Black Sea and then into the southeastern Europe, was controversial in certain quarters of the West ever since it was conceived. Now the flow of natural gas to Europe from Russia via Turkey is reaching all-time highs. Turk Stream has a capacity of 31.5 billion cubic meters of natural gas a year, roughly half of which stays in Turkey, and the rest continues on to the Balkans and Central Europe. Serbia and Hungary are the primary European consumers, according to S&P Global Supplies, via TurkStream into Southeast Europe, rose strongly in July, reaching a record monthly high. Yeah, folks, they're going to have ways to heat their house and cook the food. They're not going to cut off the very essence of how they live. As the gas flowing through the pipeline increases, so do the attempted attacks. The Russian Defense Ministry said that the three unmanned Ukrainian speedboats carried out an unsuccessful attack against a Russian warship guarding a portion of the pipeline in May. When that failed, Ukraine apparently doubled down and tried again with six high-speed drone boats in June. The attack was also thwarted by Russian forces. So, I guess, how in the world are you going to sanction a country as big as Russia, who has friends like India and China, and other places that need the gas? Folks, let's get over this nonsense. All we're doing is hurting the common people in Europe. Now, prices go up because this gas gets scarcer, perhaps. That's all it's hurting. It's not hurting Russia. Melody, comments?
No, it doesn't hurt the powers to be. Just the people. But
that's all it hurts.
That's what it's about.
Kyiv's top MP said Ukraine conflict could have ended in spring 2022. Russia was ready to stop the fighting had Ukraine agreed to remain neutral, but the West advised Kyiv to keep going at the head of the President Volodymyr Zelensky's parliamentary faction and the chief negotiator at the peace talks in Istanbul, David Akhamea, made on Friday. Akhamea, who heads the servant of the people of parliamentary group, told the TV channel One Plus One that Moscow had offered Kyiv a peace deal in March 2022, but the Ukrainian side did not trust Russia. Russia's goal was to put pressure on us so that we would take neutrality. This was the main thing for them. They were ready to end the war if we accepted neutrality, like Finland once did. And we would make a commitment that we will not join NATO. This was the main thing, said Akhamea. However, agreeing to neutrality and giving up NATO membership would have required changing the constitution of Ukraine. Secondly, there was no trust in the Russians that they would do so. This could only be done with security guarantees. During the talks, Akhamea added British then PM Boris Johnson arrived in Kyiv and told Ukrainian officials to keep fighting and not to sign any agreement with Moscow. This war could end no longer than a year after it started. Fake melody of the thousands of lives, tens of thousands of lives that were saved, and the billions or trillions of dollars that were saved in equipment and damage to cities and towns. Think about that.
Think about all the billions of dollars we would have saved.
Oh, yes. But the lives, tens of thousands of lives on both sides, especially Ukrainian, their nation has been devastated. Cities are ruined.
Yep. Yep.
Because America said, don't quit. We used them for cannon fodder.
Yep.
This is what America's done for many years, folks. This stuff is not happened by accident. Believe me, it doesn't.
And not for freedom. But
no,
for
it's
democracy,
not for freedom. Not even
but
a little
for
bit.
But for democracy.
Exactly. Exactly. I haven't got time to finish all these articles, but I will just share this one. Russia will not lose, Hungary's Orbán warns West. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orbán has said that the U.S. and EU strategy of funding Ukraine's battle with Russia in the hope that an unlikely battlefield loss will bring about regime change in Moscow is futile. Instead of trying to localize the conflict, the West decides to escalate, making it global, Orbán said last week at an event celebrating the 9th anniversary of the Swiss conservative weekly Weltwoche in Zurich. What was the strategy of the West is that war? What was the strategy of the West? Is that war? I'm simplifying it a little bit, but this is a fact. Our strategy was that the Ukrainians will fight and will win on the front line. The Russians will lose, and that loss will create a change in Moscow, he explained, according to a video speech published by Zoltán Kovács, a spokesman for the Hungarian government, on Sunday. That was the strategy. We finance Ukrainians fight and die, he added. However, he said, where we are now is it is obvious that the Ukrainians will not win on the front line. There's no solution on the battleground. The Russians will not lose. There will be no political change in Moscow. That is the reality, said the Hungarian leader. The Hungarian leader stated, and I agree, Russia will not lose this war. Wow, out of time.
Interesting. And we'll be back tomorrow. And until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my